This is the Faith Factor podcast, and we're starting a new series today, a verse-by-verse Bible study on 1 Peter. Today, my plan is to just cover the first verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter has been called a thundering paradox of a man. And throughout the scripture and early church history, he is portrayed as powerful, passionate, but an all too human follower of the Lord Jesus. The Anchor Bible Dictionary identifies Simon Peter, also known as Cephas, as the most prominent of the 12 disciples of Jesus. We've already used three names for this apostle: Simon or Simeon, his Hebrew name, whereas Cephas is Aramaic, and Petros, or Peter, is from Greek. Of those who followed the Lord Jesus, Peter and Andrew were brothers, and had been formerly disciples of John the Baptist. In fact, Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus, and at that early date, perceptive Andrew recognized Jesus as the Messiah, as recorded in John chapter 1. His brother Peter was a special and unique man, and the former Galilean fisherman was clearly very special to his Lord and Savior. Of note, the list of the 12 disciples is given four times in the New Testament, three times in the Synoptic Gospels, once in the book of Acts, and Peter's name occurs first each time, in Jewish categories indicating that he was the leader of the pack. But to whom was Peter writing this letter? Some disagreement among scholars as to his intended recipients exists. We know they were of the diaspora, Christian Jews who had been persecuted in Israel and therefore had fled north to Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, where each of the names, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, are located. But as they fled, they took the gospel with them, evangelizing as they went, so that many others, Jews and Gentiles, became believers. And New Testament churches sprung up in this area that in our day is almost totally Muslim. Pat and I were in Turkey in 2005, and Christian evangelistic work was decidedly covert. A Christian witness was present, but you had to know where to look for it. Some of the confusion of the identity of Peter's audience is caused by his reference in verse 1 to strangers in the world, which is translated as pilgrims or aliens or exiles in other English Bibles. But that really doesn't say anything about ethnicity, whether Jew or Gentile. Rather, makes the point that Christ's followers of every ethnicity are in some ways alien in this world. As Christ followers, we have a different worldview, different motivations, different values. We have a different master, or at least it should be obvious that we do. Consequently, they in the first century and we in the 21st century are foreigners and strangers and aliens and exiles and pilgrims. We're different. We're other. In Galatians 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul talked of his own ministry and of Peter's when he said, "They saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles." And for this reason, some students of the Bible assume a rigid line of demarcation in the ministry of these two apostles existed. Paul, strictly to Gentiles. Peter, strictly to Jews. And therefore, they lean toward this letter being written exclusively to Jewish believers. However, a reading of the book of Acts makes us understand that although Peter was principally ministering to Jews, he also ministered to Gentiles. Like when the Lord dispatched him to bring Cornelius, the Gentile centurion, and his household to faith, to receive the Holy Spirit, and to be baptized in Acts chapter 10. Paul witnessed to Jews by often first entering the synagogue in a given town, but used that as a launch pad to reach out to Gentiles who feared the God of Israel, and those who to that point had not yet come to love God. Consequently, I think Peter's target audience here was not exclusively Jewish, but rather composed of believers of Jewish and Gentile background. Many of whom, as Jews, had been forced to flee their homeland, many of them were new believers, and all of them were living in the shadow of threat of imminent and potentially violent persecution for their faith in Christ as they now lived in Asia Minor. If you read enough background on any New Testament epistle, you'll come across someone somewhere who denies that the apostles of Christ actually wrote the New Testament letters. And that's the case with 1 and 2 Peter. Probably the majority of scholars in our day will deny or at least question whether Peter wrote these letters. And for the sake of context, many of these scholars also deny the supernatural, like Jesus performing miracles, or Jesus rising from the dead, or Jesus returning in a future day for his church, and much else that the Bible teaches. So you need to be aware of that. Sometimes the evidence that they bring for denying the authorship of a given book is pretty feeble or paltry. Abraham Kuyper was a theologian in the Netherlands who was accomplished in many fields. He founded a newspaper, he founded a university, and he also served as the Dutch prime minister in the very early 1900s. When he encountered many of these liberal theologians who challenged almost everything in the Bible, he responded that they were often engaged not in legitimate academic biblical criticism, but in what he termed biblical vandalism. And we see that in play when it is denied that Peter wrote the two epistles bearing his name. So what is the evidence? Well, some observers have raised flags about the name of Silas, or your Bible may say Silvanus, in chapter 5, verse 2. Silas is, of course, best known for his association with the Apostle Paul on his second and third missionary journeys. You'll remember that Paul was accompanied by Barnabas on the first and Silas thereafter. But the apostolic band of the first century was small and tight-knit. There is no reason Silas wouldn't also know and be working with Peter, probably as an amanuensis, a type of secretary who would write as the apostle dictated and probably make edits, maybe even crafting the wording. Others have objected based on the style of writing. 1 Peter evidences a literary elegance, a high level of Greek, and people question whether a fisherman would be capable of writing well. You don't have to be highly educated to write well. We all know people who have a facility with words, but may not possess a high level of education. And Silas, working with Peter, may have finessed his wording and his grammar. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 tells us that Peter and John were uneducated common men. But let's stop and think about what that meant. That simply meant that they didn't have advanced education, like, for example, the education of the Apostle Paul. But it doesn't mean they were illiterate. In fact, many Jews in Galilee needed more than one language. The boys learned Hebrew in Hebrew school at the synagogue. But most also knew Aramaic and Greek too, because Greek was the lingua franca of the day, the street language in the Greco-Roman world. Consequently, it was an advantage even to Jewish Galilean fishermen to know Greek to be able to conduct business. These first century apostles were far more sophisticated than is often acknowledged. Here's another objection. Peter, in this letter, encourages believers who are experiencing persecution and various threats because of their faith. And some historians object to persecution happening outside of Rome itself during Peter's lifetime. Peter and Paul were both martyred by Emperor Nero in Rome in the mid-60s of the first century, probably 30 years or so after the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But we know there was significant persecution of believers by the Jewish leadership in the book of Acts, and that Jewish Christians fled, many of them, as I've said earlier, up to Asia Minor, others to Africa, and around the Mediterranean. There were periods of persecution in Rome, but there were also more localized flare-ups against Christians in other places. And that's evidenced by the oppression and persecution that Paul experienced in many places he traveled in the book of Acts. And the record of the early church father supports this. Persecution against the followers of Christ was common, widespread, and sometimes intense during different periods of the first century. So I'm confident this letter came from the Apostle Peter, and totally convinced it's helpful for us today. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout.